Many of you responded warmly to a story we brought you last year, the story of a woman who took drastic steps to change her genetic fate. Jessica Queller is a writer. She's written for hit TV shows, including Gossip Girl. But she'd written about something far more personal, the double mastectomy she'd chosen to have after discovering she carried the gene for breast cancer. That gene mutation sentenced her to a near 90% chance of getting breast cancer and more than a 50% chance of developing ovarian cancer. It was a gene that had been passed down from her mother.
My mother was a beautiful, glamorous fashion designer, and she was absolutely sideswiped by breast cancer at age 52. She had very intensive chemotherapy treatment, lost her hair, was very ill, but she beat the cancer. 6 years later, she was struck again by a second primary cancer, ovarian cancer. And this time, she was not so lucky.
In her memoir, Pretty is What Changes, Jessica Queller chronicled both her mother's illness and painful death and her own choice to have a double mastectomy. When we spoke to her, she had not yet had her ovaries removed, the only way to guarantee that she won't get ovarian cancer. That's because she wanted to have a baby and made the decision to try and have one on her own. Jessica Queller came back to our studios here at NPR West, and she's joining us to talk about that decision. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I should say congratulations, because you are indeed pregnant.
Thank you so much.
You're about 4 months along, just about.
Just over 4 months, uh-huh. 4.5 months.
The way you got pregnant, it's artificial insemination from an anonymous donor.
Yes.
What was that like for you to pick the father, but of course not know the father at all and not plan to, really?
Very strange, brave new world. You are provided with so much information on the one hand, 3 generations of medical records, essays, you hear a voice interview, a baby picture. The only thing they don't provide you with is an adult photograph, which is sort of disconcerting, because as much as they describe him, you don't get that visual sense of who the father is.
Have you lost any sleep about bringing a child into the world without certainly that child's biological father, but possibly without a father to help raise the child?
You know, I really haven't. I live between New York and Los Angeles, so it's pretty much as cosmopolitan as it gets. In the circles I run in, I know many single mothers by choice, and I know I have so many gay friends who have had children using the same cryobank I did. So perhaps I'm sheltered in a way. It's funny, I'm a Hollywood writer, you know, and I thought about writing a feature film about my travails of having a child by myself. And it turned out, I found out there's not one but 2 competing sperm donor romantic comedies in production right now. So I think it's not really as marginalized as one might think.
In writing your book, and even in speaking to us in this interview, you've become the public face of a disease or a potential disease, that would be breast cancer and also ovarian cancer, and been very public about some very personal things.
Yes.
You know. So how has that affected you?
There are pros and cons. I mean, the positive aspect is I know I am helping many women, and I receive letters every day via Facebook, especially from strangers who've read the book and share the most intimate experiences of their lives with me. And it's just so deeply gratifying and meaningful. On the other hand, it's a little bit embarrassing if a stranger Googles me and reads 20 pages on mastectomy girl, you know, breast cancer. It's startling, and it brands me in a certain way that certainly is not reflective of my life as a whole. So it's an odd mix.
But clearly one you're willing to embrace.
Absolutely.
And one thing about your intention and desire to have a biological child, because there are obviously other options. Carrying the breast cancer gene means that you can pass that on to this child, which must be a concern.
Well, when you asked me if I stayed up at night worrying about having a baby without a father, I don't worry about that. I do worry about passing the gene on to my child. So, yes, that is something that weighs heavily on me. That said, I'm very close with my doctors, and my oncologist in New York has assured me that advances are being made in cancer prevention on a scientific level, and she feels extremely confident that 30 years from now, when my potential daughter would have to face the burden of this issue, the landscape will be entirely different, and she'll have many different options from the options I had.
Do you know if it's a girl or a boy?
It is a girl. It is a girl. I just found out.
Oh. Would you encourage your daughter to be tested to know whether she has this genetic mutation that puts her right in line for breast and ovarian cancer?
Yes, I absolutely would encourage her to be tested, but certainly not before the age of 20 or 25. I'm sure as she grows up, she'll be well aware of my role in this topic. My friend's daughter is 6 years old, and she knows how to Google. So I don't think there'll be any chance that my daughter won't be educated on this subject by the time she's in junior high school. I believe knowledge is power, so I would raise my child wanting to seek information at the appropriate time.
What would your mother think about all of this?
She knew how desperately I've always wanted children. So I know she's looking over me, and I think of her every day, and I think she would just be absolutely thrilled that I'm having a daughter.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
Jessica Queller is author of the memoir Pretty Is What Changes. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm David Greene.